and Lara on WNYC. And speaking of health and money, as part of our series on uncommon economic indicators, WNYC's Fred Mogul will be joining us next week to discuss one way people are raising cash in these recessionary times, participating in drug trials and medical device trials. Now, we want to collect some stories from you about this to help with this segment, to help others. So if you or someone you know has participated in a medical trial for money and you would like to share that story with Fred, please email newstips@wnyc.org. So again, we're looking for people who've participated in medical trials and gotten paid for it. Newstips@wnyc.org is the email address. Send your contact information and our health reporter, Fred Mogul, will get in touch with you. Okay, we'll talk about it on the air next week. So these office holiday parties, some people love them, some people love to hate them, but would the holidays be complete without that odd mix of alcohol, merriment, and office politics? Is your office celebrating this year? Do you have any cautionary tales from years past? Call right now. We kind of went long with Cobra, so we're going to clip this. So call in right away, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And joining me with some pointers for how to celebrate and hold your head up at work the next day is Karen Grigsby Bates. She's written a guide to surviving your corporate holiday get-together for TheRoot.com. She's also a correspondent for NPR and a co-author of the book, The New Basic Black, Home Training for Modern Times. Hey, Karen, welcome to WNYC.
Hi, Brian. I'm happy to be here.
So you're joining us from Los Angeles this morning. Here in New York, a local food delivery service did a survey just the other day and found that 65% of businesses plan to cut back or eliminate holiday parties this year. Think that's the case in L.A. too?
I think it's not just New York. In fact, we just had our holiday celebration at NPR here, and it was supposed to be a dinner. It ended up being a small luncheon because they didn't want to cancel everything totally. They wanted to say thanks to the staff for a year's worth of hard work, but the economic reality is you can't spend money on big fancy dues when you need it to run your operation.
What about all that McDonald's? Well, never mind.
That's endowment, Brian.
Oh, that's right. I forget. You don't get burgers out
Can't
of
touch that.
Some companies probably paid for their parties before the recession was declared. They may have the best parties this year. But even the scaled-down ones probably include alcohol. Is that the biggest source of trouble at the office party?
I would say the combination of alcohol and perhaps simmering issues that are left over from being in the office proper, that's a pretty combustible combination.
So it helps with merrymaking but not maintaining professionalism. Any advice for dealing with a punch bowl?
Well, my personal philosophy about this is that when they offer alcohol at holiday parties, and most of the places I've been to still do, although they're starting to take another look at this for liability reasons, to set a self-imposed limit. You know, for me, if it's going to be a long evening, it's two drinks maximum. The drink is something usually low octane, like wine, as opposed to two margaritas. But, you know, two drinks, stretch them out over the entire evening, drink lots of water in between, because alcohol does lessen your level of inhibition. And some people get real uninhibited. A couple of years ago, I was at a party where there was a young African-American man, really handsome guy with a shaved head, and this young, not African-American woman came up to him and put her hands on his head and rubbed it and said, "Ooh, I've always wanted to do that." Well, what she probably didn't know was that rubbing a black man's head was considered a deep insult because for a long time, going back to slavery, lots of people thought, well, if you rub a little colored child's head, you'll get good luck. Mm. He took it very graciously because he looked at me and said, obviously a case of too much imbibing, and walked away. But had she been sober, I don't think she would have done that.
Or another white person asking, tell me about your hair. Okay, Patty in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Patty.
Hi. I have actually stopped drinking at my holiday parties for the last couple of years. The reason being, I find it extremely hilarious to watch everybody else interact with the boss, and it's just actually kind of a comedy show to see everyone, you know, go off the hook and see it all unfold in front of you.
It must be a hoot if you take that attitude and you watch people who are pretty controlled in the office environment because they're doing their professional, you know, they're wearing their professional masks. And then they go to the holiday party and get a little drunk and make fools of themselves, right?
Oh, yeah. It's a good show.
And then you just have the Schadenfreude experience.
Exactly.
Watching them suffer. Here's a post that says, from our comments page, I'd rather have nothing. I never went, took food to my desk, and ignored the whole silly thing. I had to work with those people, didn't care to socialize with them. Yes, I'm a curmudgeon. Have a problem with that?
I don't have a problem with that, Mr. Curmudgeon, but you might have a problem when evaluation time comes around, because actually in an office setting, you're supposed to be a little collegial, and that whole business of play well with others gets counted when they think about who do we want to put on this team, who do we want to promote, there are people who are brilliant geniuses that they stick in little offices and never ask them to interact with people, but those folks are few and far between, and it's really kind of your obligation if you want to keep your job to make nice with your coworkers, and in this economy, it might be worth thinking about.
Good point. And on the other end of the spectrum from that curmudgeon is Alex in Brooklyn. Hi, Alex.
Hi, Brian. Yeah, complete opposite. I was thinking about that. I was laid off in March, and then I started working freelance since then. And I can tell you, I really miss the camaraderie of working in a place of work, the routine, the commute, the ridiculous parties, the office drama. And I can actually remember last year, it was a lot of drama. Someone had bad-mouthed the boss just before the party and basically told to go home. The night of the party, everyone was just drinking and just having fun and just laughing it off. And, you know, it was just fun. And I think we could finally let down all the guard that we have against each other and just be friends and just get to know each other and bring family and couples and actually see these people have a life outside of work.
It's true,
so
Karen.
I miss it.
Alex, thank you. And, Karen, it is true. I mean, we've been, you know, dishing a lot here. But it really can just be a time to hang out and have some fun and make more of a human connection with people who maybe you deal with more professionally in normal days, right?
You know what? It can. And the other thing that happens is there's sometimes these little bursts of pleasant surprises that you pass somebody in the hall or they're in another part of the office and you always think, oh, he's so stuck up. He never blah, 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 blah. And then, you know, for some reason, you end up sitting next to him and you find this note of commonality. You know, maybe it's your kids are both doing soccer and doing well at it, or you've, you know, both got migraine headaches, or, you know, something that makes you realize, oh, I judged him unfairly. I should have really, you know, I should have taken the time to get to know him. And that's the good side of these kinds of gatherings, that because they tend to be, you know, free-flowing and fluid, you can get to see another side of a person who maybe wouldn't have shown that side if they're across the accounting ledger from you, trying to get you to justify your office expenses.
Yeah. Here are two contrasting stories from our page. One says, our office holiday party was canceled, along with raises and bonuses. As boring as it may have been last year, at least it was better than nothing. Even if it's potluck or cheese and cheap wine in the office, it's better to recognize employees in a small, dull way than not to recognize them at all. Well, someone else writes, I work for a major academic publisher. Our holiday party had been canceled, but the higher-ups have pooled their own money for a two-hour open bar next week. I could care less about a holiday party, but this effort put in by the bosses makes working here just a bit more pleasurable.
I think it's lovely. It's nice for you to discover that the people for whom you work feel that you're important enough to them that they want to do something nice for you. And what I'm finding is that in these really squeezed economic times, a number of people are suggesting, well, let's not spend the money on dinner. Let's see if we can get the deposit back. Let's give it to a charity. There are people who are worse off than we are. There are people who need to be fed. We'd like to send that money there. We'll do potluck. And sometimes what the office manager or the president of the company or something says, I'll provide the soft drinks and the wine and the dessert.
Yes.
You
very
guys
nice.
Decide what you want to bring.
All
it's
right.
Very collegial.
Karen Grigsby Bates has written a guide to surviving a corporate holiday get-together for TheRoot.com. Thanks a lot, Karen.
You're welcome, and happy holidays to everyone.